Good morning, Milestone. How are you? Everybody said, That was good, wasn't it? That was some good worship right there. I want to start off by doing something I don't normally do. Kayla LaMance, will you come up here? Oh, yeah. I just did it. Hold your applause. I'm gonna explain something first. This is Kayla. Everybody say hi, Kayla. Now, I want you to know the story about how I got to know this girl and how she came to this church. I went and spoke at Sunbright's FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, at their school when you were a sophomore, right? Sophomore, so 2 years ago. And I went in there to speak, and I was just blown away by this young girl who was like single-handedly like rallying the troops and having these Bible studies and like leading these kids toward Jesus. And she was just really like ahead of herself spiritually. I was like, wow. Like, and so we became friends. And then one day she showed up at our church and she's been coming. And it's just been a really good story. And I just wanted to celebrate today. Not only is she a woman of God, but she is the valedictorian this year. So I just wanted to brag on her. Hey. Thank you. You can go for it. She's one of those that when you see them, you're like, yeah, they're going to change the world. You know, the next generation kind of. It's awesome. I love it. Very proud of her. Just wanted to share a couple things before we dive in today. I took my kids to the movies this week to see Lego Movie Part 2. And I took a friend with them. That's the first time we didn't fit in my van, right? That was weird. So we had to take two cars. And my son Gideon, 6 years old, he took another friend of his who's six, and we're leaving Walgreens, and I'm like, don't worry, guys, we're only 100 feet away. And he's like, that's not 100 feet, that's 99. And I'm like, whoa, excuse me. He's like, you can trust me, I'm really good at science. I said, all right, man, I trust you. And the things kids say, you never know what they're going to say, right? Gideon, my six-year-old's name Gideon, and his sister's name Aylin, and she's nine. He's six. And the other day at the dinner table, it's like, Dad, you know, Aylin's such a great sister. I love her so much. When I get older, I'm going to marry her. I said, oh, no, son. No. That's not how that works. Out of the mouth of babes. Never know what they're going to say, huh? This week, I just want to say thank you for your prayers for my family, my niece, actually all three of my nieces, and my sister-in-law all got out of Venezuela. Hey, amen. Yep. And they were able to get to Colombia, and they're safe, and just answered prayer. So thank you so much for praying with us for that. There's two articles I read this week. I don't share a lot about it, but it just really broke my heart. The level that Venezuela has fallen, you can't really, until you've been there, it's hard to understand. But there was an article this week that said lawyers, it was an article about lawyers and doctors who could not find food and they had to turn to prostitution to be able to eat. And that was only topped by an article I did share on my personal page, if you might have read it, but there's kid gangs trying to survive, and there was one group of 15 kids, and they use machetes to fight over the best garbage so they can eat from the garbage. And we should have no idea. Like, until you've been there, you should have no idea. And I remember the first time I went and I saw it, I was 17, and I was a prep. I had to have my khakis ironed. I complained about eating green beans. And I remember it just rocked my world. So let's just pray. Let's just pray for them. They're hurting. They're suffering. Let's pray that God will bring an end to this ugly situation. And that's what he says for us in the Bible to do. To care for those who are hurting and needing those and pray for them. So let's do that right now. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that you do not turn away from us and our need. And God, that you move on hearts and lives and minds, and you move to provide. And so I thank you as you're moving the pieces, God. I pray for all those who are starving, all of the friends that have served with me and Sandra in the mission field, the friends who have received churches like Ridgepoint and Beach Park and churches that have come down and worked with us. And these are our friends who are starving, who have kids who can't eat, God. And we see it. And yet, as we celebrate my family getting out, there's so many more who are still in there, God. And we pray, God, that you just answer, that you would, with a thundering clap from heaven, God, reveal yourself and do what only you can do. We know that you are larger than any presidents, any dictators, any governments. God, we ask you to move. And God, this morning, as we come to you, God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts as we wrestle with your scripture today. And as we seek to sit at your feet and learn from you, God, open our eyes to hear you. Soften our hearts to receive your word. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would ask, what do you believe is the main point of being a Christian? What is the main point of following Jesus? What is the main goal that God has for us as we walk with Him? And I say today that I believe throughout Scripture, I'm going to show you a couple of Scriptures, but I believe the number one goal is that God seeks to make us into the image of Jesus Christ, to be like Jesus. And I'm not saying that with a cliche. I'm saying that He doesn't want us to be a God. He wants us to be godly, to have godly character, to love people, to seek to do what's right, to be like Him. A couple of scriptures, Romans 8:29 says this: from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him, and all along He knew who would, should become like His Son. Ephesians 4:15 says this: speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We are to grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Grow up. We are to grow up. Say, grow up. God desires that every follower of Him grows up spiritually. And listen, I want you to know, I'm not just talking about fathead Bible knowledge either. I'm not just talking about theology. I know a lot of guys who know a lot about theology, and they're not like Jesus at all. That's a part of it. Yes, reading the Word, as we're going to talk about today, is crucial. But I'm talking about learning to be like Christ, learning to be patient when wrong, learning to gently respond to those who attack us, learning to love, learning to forgive. Let's not talk about that one. That's like the F word around here, isn't it? Forgive. It's so hard. It's painful. Learning to be like Jesus. And that's God's goal. That's why He raises us. That's why He raises up to do this. And I think about it. I think about, as a pastor, the number one question I get asked is, why is this happening to me? And really, I think the best answer is to help you grow up. I think everything in life is a tapestry that we can't see it, we can't understand it, but it is all part of the plan. It is all some way connected to help us grow up. A lot of things we do to ourselves helps us grow up. Sometimes it's stuff other people does to us, but it helps us grow up. Every situation that we have, every problem, how we respond. We'll either respond and we'll get better or we'll get bitter, but it's how we respond to it. It's our choice. And so when we say, well, Chris, what does it mean to look like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to act like Jesus? Well, Galatians 5:22 talks about the character He wants to embed in us, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits, the character that He wants to build in us. And I'm here to say today that He does this. He builds us in different ways, in many different ways. But the most important, I believe, the most important, the lifeline that you cannot, I don't believe you can grow in God without these two that go together: prayer and Bible reading. I'm telling you, like, If you do not seek to read the word and be in God's presence and meet with him, then all the circumstances that happen in your life, you will never know how to interpret them as what God's doing. Like, you'll just feel like, well, life sucks. I see it all the time. But it is in seeking God and meeting with God. And again, he uses other things. He uses serving. He uses giving. He uses small groups, you know, to have others sharpen us. He uses circumstances, like when I woke up paralyzed for 8 days in 2008 with Guillain Brain Syndrome. That'll teach you. That'll wake you up and make you appreciate life. There's all different ways that he can speak to us. But I want to zero in on the importance of being in the Word, meeting with God, and getting to know him in his Word. If you're with me, say, I am. Amen. I have decided, say that, I have decided. I've decided. Now, here's the thing. As we talk about studying the Word, I want you to know something. When we talk about meeting with God and having what some people call a quiet time, some people call meditation, some people call just Bible reading, Bible study, whatever. There's a lot of different names for it. But when we're talking about this, I want you to know, nobody does it perfectly. Everybody just go, whew, woo, okay, just lower that, let it out. No one does it perfectly, okay? There's going to be days where you miss it. There's going to be days you feel sick and you can't get out of bed. There's going to be days your kids need you 29 hours of the day, right? There's going to be days. No one does it perfectly. But what I want to do today is I want to try to help you understand how to get started and how to be consistent if you've never been able to do that. And here's why. I was talking to a man who is 37 years old. No, 40 years old. He had two kids. He worked in the oil field. Just a great, big, burly guy. I hope he watches this on the internet. And he told me one day, I was like, hey, man, I just want to know if you'd like to get together sometime. I didn't know if you've ever, has anybody ever, like, showed you how to read the Bible? And he was like, he said, no one's ever asked me that. And I was like, well, I'm not trying to freak you out. I was just, we're getting pretty close. I just didn't know if that might be something I can help you with. You know, like construction guys, they'd be like, hey, you want me to help you build something? I'll help you. I'm a pastor, you know. And he said, Chris, no, you don't understand. He said, I've been in church 37 years, and no one's ever taught me to study the Bible. And my response was like, what are we doing? Because there will be a day sooner than later where this is all gone. Where pastors will be jailed, where there will not be this freedom. I hope you know that. There is a day coming. It's already happened in other countries. Where if I say anybody's wrong about anything, then I'm jailed. And I hope you know how to read the Bible and feed yourself when I'm not able to do it from up here. So as we look at this, we look at Matthew 4:4, it says this, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need God's word to live just like we need bread, just like we need food. You can fill that blank in. Man cannot live on blank alone. Whatever your thing is, you can't do it alone. Okay, so man cannot live on money alone. He needs the Bible. Man cannot live on love alone, on acceptance alone. Man cannot live on beer alone. Man cannot live on satisfaction and pleasure alone. Man cannot live on the Oprah Winfrey Show alone. Seriously. Seriously, they can't. That's a fact. We need God's Word. And so I want to zero in really this morning on how we do this. I want to get uber practical because that's one thing I like to do here is I like to break it down and make sure everybody gets it, everybody understands it. So I'm going to show you right now. If you have a pen and paper around you, grab it. You're going to take some notes. If you have a phone, pull it out, go to the little notes thing, and you can type them in. All right? But this is to help you. This is for you today, okay? For you to learn how to do this. I just want to be uber practical and give some help to those who might need this, okay? So here we go. Number one, here's the tools for the trade. You need a Bible. Who knew? You need a Bible. If you're going to read the Bible, you need a Bible. Number two, you need a journal or a pen or a phone. Now catch this. You can do journaling and write like whatever God's speaking to you about. You can type it in your phone. I personally just like the pen and paper. I believe the pen untangles our thoughts. I read that somewhere and I was like, that's really good. Like when I write with a pen, I just like, it flows out. So, but anyways, you can do either. So you need a Bible, you need a journal and a pen. You need desire to know God more. Number four, you need a schedule. Why schedule? If you don't schedule it, it'll never happen. Fact. If you don't schedule it, if you're not intentional, it will never happen. There will never be a day where you accidentally wake up and go, wow, I just feel really Jesus-like today. Man, you know, I just got righteous while I was asleep, like osmosis. It just crept in. Must have been my spouse beside me. She's so godly, it just rubbed off, you know? You know, she's in the nursery, but y'all tell her I said that. But so we have to be intentional. We have to plan it. And Matthew 6:33 says, but more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants, and other things will be yours as well. Keep him first, and everything else will follow. And as I said, no one does it perfectly. No one can do it perfectly with consistency all the time. I'm sorry if that was me. No one can do it all the time. If you struggle with that, here's some ideas to help with consistency, just to help you make sure you do it. Number one, put it in your weekly schedule. We already talked about that. Number two, be prepared for all the powers of hell to come at you when you're trying to read the Bible. All right? And it can come in the form of a screaming toddler. All right, it can come in like, someone just laughed. They know what's up. Hey, I've gone to the bathroom before to try to have my quiet time. You get the fingers on the door. What are you doing there, Dad? Hey, Dad, what are you doing in there? God. That's right, you know. Like, everything in the world is going to not want you to grow in God. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Like, all the forces of darkness are against you. If they can't have your soul, they will not let you grow. They will keep you busy and distracted. All right? So be prepared for the attacks. Number three, another thing is a lot of psychologists have found if you do something for 6 weeks, it becomes a habit. So aim for 6 weeks to try to develop this habit of being consistent. Depend on God's power, not your willpower. Seek him, trust in him. And then lastly, here's another idea, is do it with a group. This really helps. If you're in a small group, you know, do studies together. It really helps to hold you accountable and encourage you. Like, oh, I need to do that. I'm going to miss what they said. And I love when they say that, blah, 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 blah. And there's a new thing with this, the YouVersion app. If you don't have it, it's really cool. It's a Bible app developed by Life Church. And it's free. And they've had like 2 gazillion downloads. And they have all these plans that are like 7 days, 10 days, 2 weeks. And every topic you can imagine, and you invite on your phone friends to go with it through you. It's really cool. We did one for the 21-day fast. There's like 15 of us, and it was like every day you read a little verse, have a little devotion, and then you can give your thoughts, and everybody can read each other's thoughts. It's really cool. So just some ideas to help, you know, help do it with a group. All right, so I'm going to walk you through today. We're going to do this exercise. We're going to apply what we're talking about here, and here's the helicopter view I want you to get. If you're new to studying the Bible, is this. There's 2 sections of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Now, I want you to know, another word for testament is covenant. That's important. So, Old Covenant and New Covenant that Jesus brought, okay? Those are very different things that we're going to talk about, okay? But when you look at it, the theme from the beginning to the end, the main theme of all Scripture is God redeeming a sinful people back to himself. Okay, is him saving us and bringing us back to him. That is the whole Scripture, the beauty of the gospel that goes through the whole thing, is that God loves us. He gets the most glory by redeeming us and bringing us back to himself. And so when you're doing this, there's no wrong place to start. I just want to encourage you, if you're new to the Bible, start in the New Testament. I encourage you to start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Those are great places to start. I would encourage you, when you pick a book to start, I would encourage you to read only a small section and chew on it and ask questions of it. I'm not a real big proponent. Now, somebody's going to throw stones at me. All right, if you're going to send me a hateful email, send it to jody@milestonechurch.cc. And he'll answer you for me. But I'm not a real big proponent of the read the Bible in a year thing. I've tried it like 4 times, and like I can't remember anything I read because you have to read like 9 chapters a day. You know what I'm saying? It's like 4 chapters from the Old Testament, 3 from the New, a psalm and a proverb. And it's like you get to the end of the year, and I was like, I don't even remember what I read. So that's just my opinion. All right. Maybe you love it and that's your thing. Great. But for me, I can't do it. So I encourage you to read a small section, meditate on it, and ask some questions. I'm going to give you 3 questions. I want you to write these down. 3 questions that I ask of Scripture that can help you understand when you're reading the Bible. Okay, number 1, what did this mean then?
So what did it mean then and there? So that's who, that's asking the questions like, who's writing this? Who are they writing to? And what are they trying to say? What's it dealing with? What is the situation it's dealing with? Here's a cheat sheet. Most of the authors, you'll figure it out in the first few lines of the chapter or the book. They'll be like, the Apostle John writing to the church, da, 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 da. Or Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who has been called to, da, 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 da. They normally say it in the first few lines of each book. So that can help you find out who it is. And you want to know what they're dealing with then and there, because if you don't know what they're dealing with then and there, it's hard to know how it applies here and now. And so that's the first question, what it mean then and there. Then I ask, what does it mean today? How does this connect with our culture today? Are we dealing with the same situations? Are we dealing with the same type of issues in the church? Or in the world, in the culture, in life? And so that's the second question. What does it mean today? And then the third one, this is key, is what does it mean for me personally? Like, how do I apply this in my life? That's where the rubber meets the road. A lot of people stop at the second one, and they feel smart, and they can talk about the Bible. But it is the application of Scripture that changes lives, not the knowledge. I'm going to say that real quick again, just to make sure. It's the application of what you read in the Word. It's the living it out, fleshing it out, that will change your life, not the mere knowledge of having it in your head. Okay? So make sure you wrestle with that. So now we look at John 15. This is the passage we're looking at today, John 15, 5 through 8. You can follow along with me. And it says, I am the vine. This is John, the Apostle John, one of the 12. He also wrote the book Revelations in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And he's writing to the Jews, and he's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about a time he witnessed when Jesus was teaching them, okay? And he says this. Now this is Jesus speaking. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So he was telling them then and there, the Jews who did not want to believe in Jesus, he was saying, if you want to be right with God, you have to be connected to Jesus. He is the Messiah. He's here. And if you're not connected to him, you're not going to be right with God, period. So that's what he's saying to them. Now, what that means today in our world is this. No matter what anybody on TV likes, no matter what anybody on social media says, if we are to follow the Bible, then Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to be right with God. And you'll be called a bigot. And you'll be called arrogant. And a lot of other things. But here's my thing, is when I say that, when I say Jesus is the only way to God, I'm not being Baptist, I'm not being Methodist, I'm not being Pentecostal or Presbyterian, I'm trying to be biblical. And I think that's the point. The point is biblical. And so when we talk about it, that's what you're saying. And then what it says to me today, well, I've given my life to Christ. I'm connected with him. So what the rest of that verse is, if I want to thrive, if I want to stay healthy, I have to stay connected to the vine. I have to stay connected to him. And the primary way I do that is through prayer and reading of God's word. Now, there's other ways that connect to it, but this is what I believe is the lifeline. The most important is being in the word and learning from God and praying and talking to him. Check this out. Now, I want to say something. I really needed two hands for this, but I'm going to do my best to do it with one. If you're new to studying the Bible, please don't let what I'm about to say confuse you. This is for those in the room who have been studying the Bible for a long time, all right? It's really hard to hit everybody. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but everybody, every Sunday morning, is at a different place in their journey. Did you know that? So some of the stuff I say, some people hear and goes, wow, that's really shallow. And somebody says, that is life-changing. Like, that happens every week. I just want to throw that out there. So this is for those who have been studying. They know how to study the Scripture. But I want to share a tip with you that will prevent you from misinterpreting a lot of things. So let's say this right here is the Old Testament covenant, okay? The Old Covenant. This is good, and it's true. But we no longer live underneath the Old Covenant. We live under the new covenant. And so what I mean by that is this. We must, whenever we read the Old Testament, you have to look at the Old Testament through the lens of the New Testament, or you will misinterpret a lot of stuff. Okay, now let me give you some examples. So here's what I mean. Literally, I'm trying to break this down. So I'm over here in the New Covenant, and when I read, I must look through the lens of the New Covenant to understand the Old Covenant. Okay, Chris, well, this makes no sense. Give me some examples. Here's an example. The Old Covenant says this. It says, eye for an eye. If someone throws a rock at you, throw it back. But under the New Covenant, Jesus says, it's not like that anymore. He says, love your enemies. What? Because he changed it. Jesus brought a new covenant that is better. And so now we do not live eye for an eye. We live on this side. We live under Jesus to love our enemies and pray for them. Here's another example. If you read the Old Testament, if you read Leviticus, what am I doing? Am I doing something? Are you going to help me? Thank you, sir. Hold it right there. Okay. Thank you, Jody, for being my prop holder. So I was just saying, so if the Old Testament says that you're not to eat pork, which it does, how many here have sinned this morning? Snap. But guess what? Jesus came and he did away with the dietary laws. And he said to Matthew, no longer say anything's unclean that God has made clean. And he says, you can eat it. And so we only understand that because we look through here, through the lens of the New Testament to understand the Old Testament. You understand? And here's the biggest one that will save you a lot of heartache, okay? The biggest one. The Old Testament was based on the Deuteronomic principle, obey God and prosper, disobey and perish. I would be dead. You would probably be dead. Praise God, the New Covenant changed that. And Jesus came and did what we could not do, and now we are under grace. And when you look at the Old Testament and you can see that, you can see the foundation and all of the foreshadowing, God's plan coming to be. But we live over here now. It is no longer obey God and prosper, disobey, obey and perish. Now it's Jesus says there is grace, and he says, I paid for your sins, past, present, and future. I took the wrath of God for you. Love me and walk with me, and let's do this thing. That's right. If there's ever been a moment to amen and be appreciative, let's do that right now. Amen, right? Because God's grace is that good. It is so good that everybody thought Paul was crazy. Like, I laugh about that. Like, if I'm not saying stuff and y'all are like, man, he's heretical, then I'm probably not talking good enough about grace. Because it's so good, it makes no sense. But that's how awesome the God is we serve. And so if you don't understand the new covenant and be able to read that through that, then you're going to get all over the place. When you read, thank you, Jody. You can have a seat. Thank you. Can we have a round of applause for Jody? You just set it down. It's all good. So I just wanted to really, I think that's something that really is harmful to a lot of people trying to understand the scriptures. And then here's the last thing I'm going to do, and we're gonna land it, is this right here. Personalizing the Word of God. God's Word will never change you until it becomes personal to you. I'm going to say that one more time in case somebody missed it. God's Word will never change you until it becomes personal to you. Catch this. God's Word is not about your neighbor. Woo! I mean, I wish he was here. He needs this. God's Word is not about your spouse. God's Word is not about your boss. God's Word is written to speak to each of us individually, to you. And until you can do that, it will not change you. And here's a way to do it. You say, well, how do we even do that, Chris? Here's a way. Personalizing God's Word. Check it out. John 3:16. You simply input your name for pronouns or nouns and let God speak to you. So John 3:16. For God so loved Chris that he gave his only begotten son so that Chris would not perish, but have everlasting life. You put your name in there, and it's different. Well, yeah, God loves the world, of course. John, God loves the world, but he doesn't love me. He can't love me because I know me. I know what I've done. God couldn't love me. He loves those people, but he can't love me. He loves, like, everybody cosmic level. but he can't love me. That's, then you're not, by faith, accepting God's truth personally. God says, I know all your junk, and I love you. Another one, I think, Philippians. The God who began a good work in you, the God who began a good work in Chris Bumbleow, will finish it until the day Jesus comes back. Now, that gets me fired up. That he will finish his work in me, and not just in me. As I was talking about that this morning, I was doing my walkthrough, and I was like, God will finish what he started in Chris Bumbleow. And Val's like, not just Chris Bumbleow. She's like, me too. I was like, that's right. You're personalizing it, Val. You put your name in there, and listen, when you read Scripture, it will make you come to tears. It will come alive. If you think reading the Bible's dead, I guarantee you're not doing this. You're not letting it speak to you. I remember the first time my mom challenged me to read the Bible. I think I was like 17 when I really took it serious. And I was dealing with some stuff, and I was just depressed and some junk. And I remember reading Psalm, and it was like the Word spoke to me. And I was like, this is freaky. I was like, that's exactly what I'm dealing with. And it just comes alive when you begin to personalize it and see it for yourself. And then here's the promise. So catch this, guys, as we land. Check this out. So everybody, this week, decide. Say, I've decided. Say that with me. I've decided. This week, schedule it in. Grab your tools. Tell your buddies, your group, whatever you're going to do. But do it with somebody and listen and make a point to get in God's Word and let him speak to you and listen to the greatest promise on earth if we will do this. Let's put it on the screen. Jeremiah. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you make time, if you schedule it in and you come to God seeking to learn from him, you will find him. And he will speak to you. And he will change your life.